The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's show, we're going to be talking with Gaetano Williams, the executive chef and proprietor of Tano Bistro in Loveland, Ohio. And our topic for the day is healthy cooking. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part in the healing process. In the news this week are some interesting ideas about the health benefits of fruit. One in particular are figs, and I'll say two in particular, bananas and figs, for blood pressure. Bet you didn't know. Six fresh figs have 891 milligrams of potassium. That's nearly 20% of your daily need, and it's about double what you'd find in a large banana. Most people know that bananas are high in potassium, but you didn't know that that nutrient lowers blood pressure. In a recent 5-year study from the Netherlands, high potassium diets were linked with lower rates of death from all causes in healthy adults age 55 and older. And figs are also a great source of calcium. It's 6 figs to a half a cup of fat-free milk. Imagine that. I'm loving it because we're trying to find more calcium for osteoporosis prevention all the time. And here's another really interesting, fun adult winter project for you horticulturists out there who love to eat walnuts, but were thinking, gee, is there anything else we could do with those? I bet you were thinking about black walnuts as an ink. Yes, you heard that right. You can actually make ink from black walnuts. There's a recipe online, and I'm not going to get into it, but many people use this ink for manuscript writing, which would be historically correct, for Christmas card writing, or just for penmanship in writing letters, which is a dying art I'd love to see reinvigorated. You actually collect the walnut hulls from the tree, put them in a rusted cast iron pot, cover them with water, and let them either simmer slowly on the stove or you can put them on the deck. But remember to cover that mixture, because if you don't, like one of my friends shared with me, maybe Mr. Squirrel will get in there and paint your deck with that walnut ink, and you'll have squirrel textured deck. Making walnut ink. Look into that. It sounds like fun, and do try that at home, but be careful. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Gaetano Williams is the executive chef and proprietor of Tano Bistro in Loveland, Ohio. Prior to this, he was the executive chef at McCormick and Schmick's seafood restaurant in downtown Cincinnati, and he's also been a corporate chef in his career in other locales, sales in South Florida, Boca de Beppo, and others. He's currently undergoing his 40th opening, and I'm going to ask him to tell us more about that. Welcome, Chef Tano, to Your Holistic Health.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's really fun to get to know you, and it's getting to know how chefs think is an exciting experience I'm finding. It's kind of a partnership in health. You love to mingle with your patrons, and I've experienced that firsthand. Are there questions that you would be comfortable answering from your patrons when we're enjoying fine dining with you? sort of focused on health?
Are you asking, do they typically ask that of me?
For the most part, can we? Are we allowed to?
Oh gosh. Well, I think that whenever you're in a situation where the chef is involved, hands-on, not for instance like the corporate restaurants where you may have a star chef, but the chefs that are on hand, on premise, should be able to answer most questions. For the most part, you may have ingredients that may be prepared that they're not familiar with, but for the most part, again, when you're dealing with fresh food, you should be able to answer them. And a lot of the things that I typically get are gluten questions. From time to time, let's talk about olive oil. Can you use that? Lemon juice? You know, some of those, higher profile healthy food items. I get those, obviously from time to time. But for the most part, I tell you, a lot about gluten nowadays.
Well, I understand that that's a huge problem with a lot of people. That, unfortunately, is a diagnosis related sometimes, most of the time, I guess, to celiac disease and a diagnosis of elimination. So a lot of suffering unnecessarily from time to time. Let's talk about some of your techniques for boosting flavors, because a lot of people are trying their best to stay away from salts and, other spices.
Well, when you talk about salt, there's a lot of salt in a lot of prepared foods. When you're dealing with fresh food, the idea there is to introduce, if any at all, a limited supply, but more importantly, in my mind, is the kind of salt. I mean, staying away from the iodized, going with a kosher or a C, you can get into the crazy other type of, fancy salts as well, which are great salts all by their own right, but they're just become very cost prohibitive. What we use is a sea salt or a kosher salt, and we use it in small quantities. We use it in very controlled. Typically, we'll do it to order, not in where it's in a batch format, although if we're making, soups, sauces, that type of thing, we'll season it appropriately, but we won't go crazy. And again, using fresh ingredients is the key, because that's the control piece. Mm. Whenever you're dealing with prepared foods, then you've got to watch the label, and, those flavors can be masked by other flavors as well, so you really even know the salt's there.
Do you use a lot of herbs? Everybody's into herbs. What kind of herbs are your favorites, and why?
Well,
do you
use a combination of sometimes fresh and sometimes dry, because it depends on the impact. A fresh herb, and we use rosemary, basil, cilantro, thyme, chive, are the ones that come to mind, unless we do something special. But we also use a fair amount of dry. Now, fresh herbs, they tend to release their flavors quickly, so you don't want to use them in the beginning of a sauce, so to speak. You kind of want to bolster the flavor at the very end with the fresh. Conversely, when you're dealing with dry, they tend to stay and become more actively involved in the flavor profile, because they're actually absorbing the moisture and then giving off the flavor. So it depends upon how you want to use that.
I think a lot of people would assume that dry aren't as quote-unquote healthy as fresh. So it's really refreshing, pun intended, to hear that you can use the dried herbs. But, I guess we all need to look at our pantry. And, Tano, I've got a confession to make. I understand that you're supposed to keep those herbs for no longer than 6 months. And I had to tell you that I wasn't even in the decade for some of the ones I just got rid of recently in my pantry. Is that bad?
Well, the rule of thumb is this. When you're dealing with dry herbs, first of all, you don't know when they're harvested. That's problem number one. Problem number two is the ultraviolet light. So whenever you're dealing with dried herbs, you don't want to get glass jars. Otherwise, unless they're being stored in a cupboard where the light doesn't get to it. But at the end of the day, if you can get to a market, if you will, that deals with it in bulk, it's probably your best place to go than to go to the shelf of a grocery store that has it sitting there, and you just don't know how long it's going to be before, you know, if there is an expiration or a decline in flavor, and you don't know when, again, it's harvested. So that's the key piece. I mean, as a rule of thumb, you know, you want to buy small quantities and use it as quickly as you can. Anytime you buy a larger quantity, if you're not using it, then you're probably going to deal with a stale taste as time goes by, you know.
Good information. All right. Here's another little known secret about you. I'm going to tell some of your secrets tonight, if that's okay.
Uh-oh.
I understand that you sometimes come up with a menu at the last minute, and it's because you're so creative that you can do that.
<Thank you.
laughs> think about how...
You've seen that firsthand, haven't you?
Yeah, I have experienced that on a number of occasions and been delighted each time. Do you think about health when you design these creative menus?
You know, that's a great question. And when you think about health, and or the way I prefer to talk about it is eating healthy. And I go back to what I said just a little bit earlier, and it's about prepared foods. It's if we can stay away from prepared foods and go fresh. Now, the decisions that you have to make once you decide to go fresh, of course, health is probably the number one byproduct that you're going to get is a healthy, nourishable food source that you're going to ingest. Now, looking at your color chart, you want to go, obviously, with the darker colors, and that's kind of a rule of thumb when you're talking about health. In my mind, I'm always thinking fresh is best. Use fresh ingredients. Use high-quality ingredients. And it's really kind of an Italian, you know, rule of thumb in the way they've always lived or we've always lived is that, you know, if you deal with fresh ingredients and the high quality, then you can't get anything but a great product at the end of the day. And health in mind for me, you know, in the ingredients that we use here at the Bistro is extra virgin olive oil and canola oil. Those are the only oils you'll find in the kitchen. Now, you'll find a blending of it where olive oil is like wine. You'll have a tremendous flavor profile that you can pick through and get your preferred flavors. Spanish versus, you know, Italian and Sicilian, then you have your dialects, or not dialects, but of your regions where the olives come from. They also blend olive oil. Even the extra virgin you'll blend. But ultimately, though, with extra virgin olive oil or olive oil in general, what you want to stay away from is the pomace oil. And I'm sure you're familiar with pomace. Maybe your listeners aren't. But pomace is a heated oil. And that is where you change the characteristic of it, and it's actually not good for you. It came out, I don't know, about 10, 15 years ago is when it really kind of was very well known or very discovered that a heated olive oil or a pomace is really a negative impact. Did you hear that? Are you familiar with that?
Well, you know, I'm not, but I think that we need to continue to talk about this after we go to break, because most people would say to me, well, olive oil is too expensive. I can't afford, and it's, you know, I'm going to find the cheapest that I can possibly find at Kroger's or on the shelf. And yet I've seen olive oil go for $25 a liter.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
So I need more information. I think we would all love more information. But before that, how about we go to break? If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight, we're talking with Gaetano Williams, executive chef of Tano Bistro in Loveland, Ohio. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and our guest for this show is Gaetano Williams, the executive chef at Tano Bistro in Loveland, Ohio. So, Chef Tano, once again, olive oil is the theme. Let's talk specifically, what shall we look for on that label when we're purchasing olive oil in the market?
Yeah, and again, I think I can't stress it enough, because at the time I was with Buca di Beppo as a corporate chef, and we were purchasing pomace oil for, you know, all the stores, which at the time were about 60 restaurants, and we were in it, obviously, from a price point perspective, because it was a good way to get what we thought was a good-tasting olive oil, was pomace. And then for some reason, this story broke, and we were educated on the olive oil, that when it's a heated press, you get first press, and then you've got second, and these are cold presses, and then you have that heated third press, and that's where it actually has been pressed already once or twice. The first press is extra virgin. That's the EVOO. The second press is what you would consider olive oil. It doesn't say extra virgin. It doesn't say pomace. It just says olive oil. And that's a second squeeze, a second press. Those are still too fine. It's just you get that higher flavor profile coming out of that first squeeze. The second squeeze is not so much. It's still there. It's not bad. But that third was, you have to stay away from that. It's just not good. Now, that said, when you look for an extra virgin olive oil, price comes into really a lot of package. And then if you buy in larger quantity, you can get a better price for it. And it goes down to flavor, and depending upon what you're looking for in flavor, you can get really nice colors as well. You can get the really dark green, which I think, again, is probably a healthier for you, because any time is a rule of thumb, and we know that the darker colors are better for you. But from a cost perspective, this is key, I think, is using the canola blend, where we'll blend here anywhere from 5 to 10% up to a 75-25 blend, where the canola is the greater quantity, and you let the flavor, because olive oil is very strong in flavor. It doesn't necessarily go with everything. But there are some key properties with it, especially when you're doing something in a saute pan and you take a piece of, a great fish to eat is the ones with the high omegas, and Arctic char, salmon, halibut, just to name a few off the top of my head, steelhead trout. They have that great natural oil in them. And you take this oil with the extra virgin blend, or a pure extra virgin, but again, depending upon what you're going to do with it in terms of the flavor. But it has a high heat where it won't smoke, but you can get a nice sear on that piece of fish.
Are you planning on serving one of these delicious meals to me anytime soon? Because now I'm hungry. Not to put any pressure on you or anything.
No pressure. Actually, you know, the best time for salmon for me is June, when the wild salmon start running. Mm-hmm. Even though there's been great strides in how farmed, if you will, for, you know, aquaculture with the farm-raised fish, for the most part, I stay up in the Canadian world as far as that goes, because they're very tuned into the whole thing with giving enough water so that the fish are moving around. They're not compact. It's not, overpopulation, mm-hmm. and that's where you had that big problem in Chile with the salmon that shut them down for quite a time. That drove prices up as well.
Well, you know, I love what you're doing here, and this gets into all the anti-inflammatory side of nutrition, and we're talking about different oils, the healthy oils, the monounsaturated fatty acids. We're talking about the fish, which is whole food, and the health benefits with the oils, and vitamin D would be another health benefit of some of the fish that you mentioned. Let's wrap that into sort of a larger discussion now with regard to the Mediterranean diet and part of your history, your family history. I've heard you speak of the Mediterranean diet and affectionately that it, one of your colleagues says basically, you know, my diamonds in this diet are which plants and herbs. Tell us about that.
Yeah. When I was with Buca, Vittorio Renda is the gentleman that started that company, but he himself came over from Italy, so he is the first person in his family to immigrate. And when he was grown up, he's actually a very classically a master chef, actually, went through the education process in Italy. And, you know, Italian food is not really complicated. You're dealing with the diamantes, which is diamonds. And to them, as typically, they're peasants. I mean, you get the upper class and the lower class, but for the most part, you know, you got people that work the land. They live, love, and provide for their family from the land. So, you know, to them, their diamonds are the fruits of the land, and eggplant, the leafy greens, garlic, tomato. Of course, you know, the olive trees are a huge, and as well red wine. I mean, they're the varietals of grapes that are grown over there for winemaking are insane. It's just mind-boggling from Italy. So,
and you know, the Mediterranean diet is the world's gold standard of healthy eating now. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
The Especially simpler, the better. See, it's just very back to basics.
It really is. You can't go wrong with fresh ingredients. We as a country, from I would say what the 50s you would think through, you know, even still today, are dealing with convenient, fast, you know, on the run, gotta get it, gotta go, type of lifestyles, and it really has kind of turned against us in general, because you've got a lot of obesity, you got a lot of food related illness out there in the world, especially in America. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the fact that they're not taking the time to eat right.
I agree. Well, you know, we're talking a lot tonight about some of our favorite healthy sort of cooking tips and techniques. We're talking about some of the aspects of nutrition, such as healthy oils, which I absolutely love, and the Mediterranean diet. Let's zero in on a couple of techniques now that might help people cook in a different way than perhaps they've thought of in the past, away from frying, perhaps even away from baking for the moment. And give us some ideas that you find are tried and true and still help us keep the nutrients in our vegetables and so forth.
I tell you, I've got two favorite techniques, and that's saute and grill, meaning the char grill. But let's start with the grill first, because There is a concern there. There's a carcinogen whenever you carbonize food, meaning it gets too well done. You get that black on it where you get that char, you know. There's a difference between caramelization and carbonization. And you want to get that sear, much like in the saute pan, which could be considered pan frying, but it's not really deep frying. There's a big difference there. Is the amount of oil, the kind of oil, you create that crispy sear, which seals in the juices, and you allow for, you know, the meat to take a better, oh gosh, what's the best way to describe it, where you just, you lock it all in, and there's definitely no doubt about that. And a lot of your big steakhouses will sear that meat on a very, very intensely hot grill. The key piece, though, is getting away or staying away from that char. So you want to be mindful of how long it's on, what temperature of a grill. The best thing to do is you grill it off, and if you can control your temperature to avoid that, that's great. If not, then a good rule of thumb is to finish it in the oven. Just get that little char on there, that little carbonization or that caramelization, so that you know, you get some of the natural sweetness, none of the natural sugars that are in the meat or the vegetables, the fruits even, that it creates such a wonderful flavor. In fact, I love doing my, whenever we do vegetable trays for our caterings, that type of thing, typically we sell a lot of the grilled vegetable tray. Mm. And there's nothing like the sweetness in a carrot or an onion when it's caramelized correctly on a grill to get that flavor. We use, you know, just a brush of olive oil, salt, pepper, easy on the salt, of course, and you just give it enough time on that grill, and it just pulls out great and intense flavors. And you still have that raw crunch on the inside, but a nice soft on the outside. It's perfect.
Well, I love the term sweetness of these fresh foods and the cooking techniques for the body. And there's also a sweet scripture that I want to share with our listeners tonight, and it's from John 6:35, and I quote, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. For our spiritual nourishment tonight. And I think that goes hand in hand with our discussion.
No question.
Okay, before we close, we're coming into the final moments of our show, Tano. Let's just talk about the bistro and your 40th opening. What are some exciting things that are going on with you?
Well, you know, we have Tano Bistro in Loveland, downtown Loveland, the historical part. And, what we're doing is we're opening a new concept called Take Home Tano. And the bistro is where you come in and you enjoy a night out, significant other as a group of friends, and you'll join a dining experience. Take-home Tano is designed to be for those, you know, like we just talked about not too long ago, was how crazy busy and you have no choice but to go through a fast food or pick up, you know, some convenient delivered food, pizza, whatever. And what we're looking to do is provide a healthy, nutritional, but at the same time, taking into consideration fresh food, freshly prepared. You can take it home and bake it in your own oven, or you can take it out hot. We're going to make fresh bread, soups, appetizers, all that kind of thing, but all from the mindset of fresh food.
I love it. And, you know, what I also love is that we've had you on the show, but I'm sad we're all out of time. Very quickly, where's your website so our listeners can find more about you?
I have two. One is foodbytano.com, and that will take you to the bistro, or takehometano.com.
Awesome. I'd like to wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and tonight it's about love, and it's from Vance Havner. And I quote, "What we love usually manages to get into our conversation. What is down in the well of our heart will come up in the bucket of our speech," end quote. Thanks again to our guest, Gaetano Williams, executive chef of Tano Bistro in Loveland, Ohio, for being with us tonight. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Victoria Morgan, the CEO of the Cincinnati Ballet. She's going to talk with us about dance. On the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m. on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.